immortal, invisible God, only wise in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Let's do that in the singing of our first hymn, number 366. Jesus is King, and I will extol him, give him the glory and honor his name. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence this morning, we thank you indeed that you are immortal, you are invisible, you are the only wise God, you dwell in unapproachable light, you are most glorious, you are the Ancient of Days, you are almighty. You are victorious. And we thank you, Lord, that you change not, that you have always been the same. And we change. This world changes. This universe changes. But we thank you, God, that you do not. We thank you for what we have sung about the Lord Jesus Christ, how we think so much about the past and his life 2,000 years ago, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. And so many think also of his coming in the future. And yet how we should spend more time thinking of what is happening in the present, what he's doing in the present for his people. We have just sung, we have a priest who is there interceding, pouring his grace on our lives day by day. We come to him, our priest and apostle, clothed in his glory and bearing his name. And so, Lord, we thank you for the present intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Thank you that Jesus is alive, and the message about him is alive. It is a living message, the message of the gospel. It impacts and changes people's lives. And we thank you that it will do so today. We thank you that Christ will continue to build his church today, that souls will be saved, and we pray that some will be saved even in our midst here, and those belonging to our church fellowship. We just look to you, O God, and we thank you that as we live our lives, that Jesus is in the heavens at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for his people. And the challenge in our lives is, do we belong to his people? Are we numbered among his people? We thank you for those who are. We thank you for those who have a Christian testimony. But we pray for those who haven't, as they sit under the sound of your word week by week. Some who even listen in via the internet, maybe not saved, but good people, but not saved and not ready for heaven. O God, we pray that you will bless your word to their hearts today. And so we just leave our service with you, Lord. We are not gathered here in any human name. We are not gathered here just to meet for an hour like a club. We are here to meet with you, the living God. There are hearts that are desirous this morning to meet with God afresh. And Lord, we pray that we will not be disappointed. As the deer pants for the water brook, so our souls pant for you, O God. Our souls thirst for God, for the living God. And we pray that the unsaved will have aspirations as well, that they will stir themselves up to meet with God and to know his salvation. So bless us now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing again, number 439. 439, an older hymn. Lord of all being, throned afar, thy glory flames from sun and star, center and soul of every sphere, yet to each loving heart, how near.
Oh,
Our reading is from the book of Proverbs and chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Last week we finished looking at Luke chapter 18, the different scenes there. And we were about 6 weeks in that chapter, hoping to be about 4 weeks in Proverbs chapter 8. So you know where we're going for those Sundays. And you can have a good read of this chapter at home. Get familiar with it. I'm sure there's a Bible in every home. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. And then we'll look then verses 12 to 21. And then 22 to 31. And then 32 to 36. That's the plan anyway. Proverbs 8 and verse 1. Does not wisdom cry aloud, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors, "To you, men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand the prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." Amen. May the Lord bless these words and this chapter to your hearts. Now, a very warm welcome to church this morning, and let me just leave you with the following announcements for this incoming week. At 6:10, our time of prayer, and then our evening service. This is the last Sunday of the month, and it's our outreach service, and it would be good to see you back again and to invite others along as well. That is the opportunity. And coming along to give a word of testimony and a word from the scriptures will be the secretary of the Belfast City Mission, Mr. Bobby Brown. Bobby has been to the church here before at one of the ladies' meetings a few years ago. So we look forward to him coming tonight, and there will be a cup of tea and a biscuit after that service in the back hall here. Tuesday at 8 o'clock, the prayer meeting and Bible study. We continue our studies in the book of Philippians. It's good to see those who come out regularly. There's plenty of room for more at the prayer meeting. Wednesday, ladies, it's your good company outing. Wednesday, the 1st of May. The sheet is on the vestibule table there. There's still opportunity today to put your name down if you hope to go. We're leaving the church here at 9:30, travelling to Dobby's Garden Centre just outside Lisburn. You can have a cup of tea and a scone, and then a good walk about. It's quite a spacious garden centre. And then up into Lisburn, and you can have a walk about there and a bite of lunch or whatever. And we'll be leaving there and then back at around 3:30 on Wednesday. At 7:15, there will be a choir practice for Youth Sunday, so children are invited along to that. And our youth services will be on Sunday, the 2nd of June. Friday night at 8 o'clock will be a deacon's meeting. Next Sunday then, the first Sunday of the month, time of prayer at 9 o'clock here in the back hall. Sunday school and Bible class at 10:15. The morning service and following that will be believers meeting around the Lord's table. Time of prayer, 10 past 6. Evening service at 6:30. And the speaker at both services will be Mr. Ernie Croft. There's literature on the vestibule table there. There is the handbill for the North Ulster Bible Weekend, hosted by the Faith Mission up at Carnlee. And the speakers are Pastor David Legg, and the Reverend Andrew Mullen, and that will be in 2 weeks' time, Friday night, and over that weekend. So there's plenty of handbills there for that. So these are all the announcements, and they're made in the will of the Lord. Let's bring then our offerings to him. Thank you. Let's pray. Indeed, Lord, we thank you for the precious words of the Bible, words that you have given to us, O God, for our benefit. Many, many billions of other words that have been written by man, many not helpful whatsoever, but we thank you for the words of the Bible, which do not even number a million, something like 800,000 odd or something like that. And we thank you indeed for your precious, precious word, the word of God. And just bless them to your hearts, we pray. We thank you that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to us, to our souls. Not only for the rest of our lives, but for all eternity. And so we just look to you and pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. Blessed as it is preached today, we pray it will bring blessing to many hearts and lives. Those who listen to it, those who read it, may many come to know the Lord as their Savior. May many be helped. There are those who are troubled today. There are those who sorrow today. There are those who are going through difficult times. And your word addresses all of these situations. Indeed, there is not an experience of life that the Bible cannot address, that the Bible cannot help. And so we pray that no matter what we're going through, that your word will be a blessing today. We think of those belonging to your church who are unwell at the present time. We pray that you will draw near unto them today. And in their illness, O God, may they find you. May they come to know you more, or even come to know you for the first time. Even that you will use their illness in order that they might see their need of Christ and his salvation. And so, Lord, we do pray that you will bless today. Bless our service tonight. Bless Bobby as he comes along. Bless his ministry here to us. And we pray it will be a blessing to many. And coming into the month of May and into the month of June, when we have different activities, different services, we just ask you to bless us, Lord, and may 2013 be a year that we shall know the blessing of God in our midst. So come to us now, Lord, and bless your word to your hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 386. 386. Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills the breast, but sweeter far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. In Luke chapter 24, after the Lord Jesus had risen and before he revealed himself to the disciples, he met two on the road to to Emmaus, and they run the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, 7 miles. And the Lord Jesus met them. And Luke chapter 24, verse 27 says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And to the disciples he said in verse 44, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.'" And on that road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus would have touched upon all of the 39 books in the Old Testament and showed them something about himself and what was written about him in those books. And when he came to the book of Proverbs, where is he in the book of Proverbs, and what is he in the book of Proverbs? And the dominating theme in the book of Proverbs is wisdom. And surely that is what the Lord Jesus Christ showed himself to the two on the road to Emmaus, that the wisdom that the book of Proverbs speaks about is a personification of himself. It is Christ. And one has said that the beauty of the book of Proverbs lies hidden in the meaning of the word wisdom. Clearly, this word as used here means more than an attribute. We cannot doubt that the wisdom of Proverbs is identical with the incarnate word of the New Testament, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody has said about this particular chapter, Proverbs chapter 8, that this is one of the greatest chapters of the Old Testament. We could compare it to an alpine or Himalayan peak. You know those peaks in a mountain range that just are higher than the others, and maybe the others are covered in cloud, but one is up above the clouds. It's very prominent. Proverbs chapter 8 is like that in the book of Proverbs itself. Charles Bridges wrote one of the greatest commentaries on the book of Proverbs. And opening up chapter 8, he is of no doubt that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is speaking here. He says, "Listen we now to the calls of heavenly wisdom, to the voice of the Son of God." And reliable Matthew Henry says that it is an intelligent and divine person that here speaks seems very plain. And that intelligent, divine person can be no other than the Son of God himself. It's as if wisdom has a voice. Does not wisdom call? But then verse 12 says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence." It's as if wisdom is speaking. It has a voice. We are not far wrong if we put that voice to the Son of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you take time and read the book of Proverbs, 31 chapters. It's a good book to read in a month. One chapter a day. 31 days. In chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, we have the introduction. And then verse 7, we have the first proverb. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And that sets the pattern for the book of Proverbs. It deals with foolishness and wisdom. It deals with the foolish person and the wise person. Indeed, even in the next chapter, you have two women, it seems. Verse 1 says, wisdom has built her house. Verse 13 says, the woman folly is loud. And you have the call of wisdom and folly to the sons of men. Wisdom is calling to people to be wise. Folly is calling just to enjoy the things of life, to live a foolhardy life with no regard for the things of God. So the book of Proverbs opens up with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So there you have the two people. The fool and the one who is wise. There you have the two paths of life. Knowledge, wisdom and instruction. Fools who don't want any of that. The words of Solomon. And Solomon's father said, David, in Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Solomon says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. David says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because they're interrelated. They're saying the same thing. Wisdom is knowledge. Knowledge of the things of God. Even the Lord Jesus is called wisdom in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 30, and because of him you're in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. Colossians 2, verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So whenever you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, when you love him, when you're seeking to walk with him, you are being wise. He is your wisdom. You constantly look to him for enlightenment and for help and for guidance. So we're not too far wrong if we just look at Proverbs chapter 8 and just to see the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, in this chapter. And just these first 11 verses then, we want to see the voice of wisdom and the various places of wisdom and the virtue of wisdom and the value of wisdom. The voice of wisdom in verse 1, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? Verse 4, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. So wisdom is crying out to all people, no matter who they are, no matter where they are. Chapter 1 and verse 20 says, wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets. She raises her voice at the head of the noisy streets. She cries out at the entrance of the city gates. She speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. And even in chapter 9 and verse 4, whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. This is the voice of wisdom. And every time you hear the message of the gospel, this is the voice that you're hearing. God's message that is wise. The key verse would be verse 4 here. To you, men, I call, and my cry is to the children of men. There's nobody left out. Verses 32 and 33 says, and now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. O men, O simple ones, O fools. One has said, whether grand or gullible, whether of average intelligence or a fool, the message is for all. Wisdom is calling to everybody. And we're thinking here of the general call and offer of the gospel. Romans 10 verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's the parable of the sower. He had a bag full of seed. He put his hand in. Well, we assume this is the way it was done. And he just scattered it everywhere. It fell on all different kinds of ground. The wayside, stony ground, thorny ground. There wasn't much of a response from those grounds, but still it was thrown. And it fell on good ground. And that's where it brought forth a harvest. And we have the wayside heart, the heart that's hard, the heart that is impenetrable. No matter what you preach, no matter who the preacher is, no matter what the theme is, it doesn't seem to penetrate a person's heart. They just remain hard and indifferent. Those who make a decision, but after a while, there was nothing really to it. The stony ground, the thorny ground where the seed is choked. Because people are preoccupied with other things, with the cares and riches and the pleasures of this life. Then the good ground, the hearts that are prepared, the hearts that have been made ready. There are not many weeds, there's not many stones or thorns. The seed has room to grow. And yet only one ground out of four. Very much the minority brings forth fruit to the glory of God. And just leaving the manse this morning and driving down our avenue and just thinking to where all of you have left. And all of your homes, no matter where you've come from, Harryville, wherever you've left your home this morning, you are one who's in the minority who have left even to go out to basically attend church. Am I right? People's houses have not emptied at the same time, and people coming out and greeting each other and heading to their different churches around the town and countryside. We're in the minority. And yet the voice of wisdom goes out to all. To you, O men, I call, turn from your simple, silly, foolish ways. Take heed to me. One has said, wherever a lost sinner be found on this side of the grave, the free welcome of the gospel meets him. Robert Murray McShane preached a sermon once on Proverbs 8 and verse 4, and he applied it to Christ, offering himself to mankind as Savior. To you, men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. Paul's words in Acts 17 and verse 30, that God now commands all people everywhere to repent. There's no one without excuse. The voice of wisdom. Where is this voice heard? We see the various places of wisdom. Verses 2 and 3. On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out. Chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 says, in the street, in the markets, at the head of the noisy streets, at the entrance of the city gates. Chapter 9, verse 3 says, from the highest places in the town. All suggestive of wherever people meet and wherever people are. And we could again put a wee outline here on these various places where the gospel is. It is suggestive of dealings. Chapter 1 says, in the markets, where there's wheeling and dealing, where there's buying and selling. In the workplace, in the place of employment, the voice of wisdom is there. In where dealings, in the markets, where decisions, the wisdom is at the city gates. In ancient times, the wise men, the counselors, those who had to make decisions for the city, those who looked after local affairs, they met at the city gates. Important transactions took place there. A clear example of that is in the book of Ruth, when Boaz was buying the piece of ground from Naomi, and of course he had to take Ruth as wife, but he had to meet a nearer kinsman than him, and it was all transacted before the elders of the city at the gates. Decisions, dealings in the markets, and we could think of directions. Chapter 8, verse 2, on the heights beside the way, at the crossroads. Now, we often use crossroads in a figurative way. You've come to a point in your life and you're at the crossroads and you have a decision to make. What direction are you going to go in? You're at the crossroads of life. Wisdom. We hear the voice of wisdom there. At the crossroads, what direction are you going to take? Are you going to trust Christ or not? Are you going to please him in this decision? Will this decision please him and be glorifying to God? At the crossroads of life. We can think then of dealings, wisdom in the markets, decisions at the city gates, directions at the crossroads. We could even think, maybe it's not reading too much into it, if we think of domestic settings at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. Are we talking about our own homes here? It has mentioned the city gates. At the entrance of the portals, is that where people live? Whether you're at home or abroad, whether at home or at work, wherever you go, wherever you are, you can hear the call, you can hear the loud voice of wisdom. You can't get away from it. It's in your conscience, it's in your psyche. You know what to do. Christ calling you to himself. The call of wisdom. In Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all you who labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The call of wisdom, the call of the gospel. So we see the voice of wisdom, the various places of wisdom. We see the virtue of wisdom. Verses 7 to 9, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. The voice of wisdom will never lead you astray. The voice of wisdom will never pull the wool over your eyes, never deceive you, never. But folly will deceive. Folly will lie. Chapter 9, verse 15, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Wisdom will not deceive. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the truth. And every word that he says is truth. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. There were those who testified of him, those officials whom the Pharisees sent to apprehend him. In John chapter 7, verse 46, no one ever spoke like this man. No one ever spoke like this man. The words of his mouth. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. You'll never hear a wrong or misleading word from me, wisdom says. We have God's word. It is a wise book. It is a book of wisdom. It is a book to impart wisdom. Psalm 19, verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And of course, it is from a wise author, from God himself. 1 Timothy 1 verse 17, God who alone is wise. This is the most reliable book that you can ever have in your hands, the Bible. Yes, there are other religious books out there, but they're all man-made. They have all come from Satan. They're Satan's alternative to the truth of God. This is wisdom, God's word. the virtue of wisdom, truthful, every word. We see the value of wisdom in verses 10 and 11. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. This is everything to have this wisdom. Verse 19 says, my fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. How often we sing the hymn, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. To have Jesus is to have everything. People of the world desire silver and gold and jewels. They desire the precious things of this world, but the most precious thing that you can have is wisdom, is Christ. Somebody has said, Jesus, all sufficient. Beyond telling is thy worth. In thy name lie greater treasures than the richest found on earth. Proverbs 3:13-15 says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Nothing you desire can compare with her. More precious than anything that this world can afford. And two examples that stand out about that is Paul and Moses. In our studies in Philippians, we're past these verses now, but Philippians 3:7-8 says, but whatever gain I had, Paul had said that he was of the tribe of Benjamin, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. You know, if Paul hadn't have been converted that day on the Damascus Road, and he continued on in Judaism, I've no doubt that he would have been another Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He would have been a Gamaliel, a teacher. Paul sat at the feet of the Hebrew teacher Gamaliel. But he says in verses 7 and 8, but whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And you think of Moses in Hebrews 11, verse 26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. You know something, they're still finding the treasures of Egypt. They're still finding tombs that have treasures, and in today's market worth billions. And yet Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Wisdom. Paul found this wisdom that's in Christ. Moses found this wisdom that's in Christ. What about you? More than what this world can offer. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world with all its wealth and lose his own soul? But when your soul comes to know that wisdom, somebody said, if silver or gold or jewels or anything of this world were being handed out, you would not hesitate to take it. So why refuse wisdom worth so much more? The call goes out. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of men, to everyone. What are you going to do with this wisdom this morning? You're found in these various places, in your own home, in the place of work or education. As we go about our streets, wisdom calls out. And the virtue of wisdom, it's not going to deceive you in any way, because it is the truth. And it is more valuable than anything else in this world. This world will pass away with all its fashion. The fashion of this world passes away with all its wealth. There's nothing lasting in this world. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. To you, O men, I call. How will you answer that call this morning? Wisdom crying out to you to be wise and to see to your soul's salvation and your walk with God. In the will of God, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll take this up again. Verses 12 to 21, and we'll consider that block of verses. Number 465, as we close, 465, meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God. But verse 3 starts off with wisdom unsearchable, God the invisible, love indestructible, in frailty appears, Christ the wisdom of God. 465. now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.